Thanks to those who download these talks as podcasts from iTunes. We invite your comments, correspondence, and feedback by email us at utahchristians@gmail.com. We also have a membership class at our website, utahchristians.org. I'd like to thank those that have taken the membership class and become members. Couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Today we want to talk about excuses or exertion. Unfortunately, the world is full of people who are not using the gifts that God has given them. The great poet Robert Frost once said, "The world is full of willing people, a few willing to work and the rest willing to let them." Somewhere in the world, there's a country with a population of 220 million people. 84 million are over the age of 60. That leaves 126 million to do the work. People under the age of 20 total 95 million. This leaves 41 million to do the work. There are 22 million employed by the federal government, which leaves 19 million to do the work. 4 million are in the armed forces, which leaves 15 million. Deduct 14,800,000, the number in state and city offices, that leaves 200,000 to do the work. There are 188,000 in hospitals or insane asylums, that leaves 12,000 to do the work. And there are 11,998 people in jail. So that just leaves you and me, and frankly, I'm getting tired of doing everything myself. On this Sunday afternoon, there are pastors looking out at congregations in churches all over the country, all over the world, seeing an army of soldiers who need to be on the battlefield, but instead they're asleep in the barracks. We have not been saved or enlightened to sit on a pew, soak up biblical truth. We've been saved to serve. If you consume more calories than you burn, then you'll gain weight, you'll become lethargic, you'll suffer in your health. Healthy life, successful life, is all about giving out more than you take in. The tremendous, selfless effort of a parent to raise a child is only with the aim that the child will in turn become a parent and serve their children the same way. Am I wrong? The effort of a teacher towards the student is geared towards that student eventually imbibing those lessons, passing it on, becoming a teacher themselves. Similarly, everything that Prabhupada, our spiritual master, at great effort and in the optimal years of his life, invested in us, invested in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is towards the end that we become mighty servants. And as he has taken ground for the kingdom, there are now 800 Hare Krishna temples worldwide, we are meant to take even more ground for the kingdom. And to do that, we have to serve more than we sit. Sitting for classes, reading the books, it's essential for making us spiritually strong, but those spiritual calories are meant to be expended in mighty acts of service and sacrifice. If you see your role as a righteous, religious, Mormon, Catholic, Hindu, as only to take in and in and in and in, then you'll become like that overweight person, that child, or that student who repays the parent and the teacher not at all. Too much in and nothing going back out again. After hearing the Bhagavad Gita for half an hour, Arjuna fought for 18 days. Prabhupada, our spiritual master, received his instructions from his spiritual master within 60 seconds. You're an intelligent young boy. You please preach the gospel of Krishna in the Western countries. After hearing that instruction, sitting down and getting that instruction for 60 seconds, he spent 60 years, the rest of his life, fulfilling and executing the order of the spiritual master. And Prabhupada here says, the individual soul, this is constitutional. This isn't a matter of belief or faith. You can change your belief. You can change your faith. You can change from Hindu to Catholic, from Catholic to Jew, and so on and so forth. But what you can't change is the fact that you're a servant. Every one of us is a servant, constitutionally. It says when one takes up that service to God seriously and strenuously, it is called bhakti. LDS. loving devotional service. And he goes on to say, one who steps into his constitutional, like the constitutional role of sugar is sweetness. You can't have sugar without sweetness, otherwise it's not sugar. We're constitutionally servants, and ultimately we're servants of the Lord. When we serve Him with our body, our mind, and our words, we fulfill our destinies and become very dear to the Lord Himself. Do you know people? Not that you're one of them, but you might know people who downplay their abilities. I'm not that talented. I don't have what it takes. I'm not special. I'm just average, ordinary. I'm just a C student. They have God-given dreams, but they never act on them. They're afraid of exertion, afraid of failure, afraid of criticism. They never discover their talents and abilities because they're afraid to step out in faith. Like a baby who has the ability to walk and eventually run, but never learns. Maybe the baby tried once or twice, fell on its butt a couple of times, and then just gave up, said, I'll never walk. Some people might have tried one or two baby steps towards their dreams, but at the first boo, first criticism, first sign of discouragement, they gave up and put their dreams on a shelf where they gather dust. They throw in the towel. I don't have what it takes. I'm not that important. If you ever get the idea that you're not important, either to the church or to God or the kingdom of God or the work of God, here's some food for thought. One voter in each precinct in the United States will determine the next president. Thomas Jefferson was elected president by one vote in the Electoral College. So was John Quincy Adams, Rutherford B. Hayes, all of them one vote. One vote gave statehood to California, Idaho, Oregon, Texas, and Washington. The Draft Act of World War II was passed by the House by one vote. Your one vote, your effort, is important. The spiritual gift is like a vote. Either you use it or you lose it. In America, we have the right to vote, but to not vote, to not exercise that right, is to be no better off than living in a fascist country where you cannot vote. To have a God-given gift and not exercise that gift, to have the opportunity to serve the creator of the universe and take full advantage of that opportunity, is to be no better off than to have neither the gift nor the opportunity. Prabhupada says here, we are struggling because we have deliberately rejected our Supreme Father and His gifts because we want to become independent and unaccountable. Our message today is it's more painful to live an unfulfilled life of self-pity than it is to go ahead and pursue your dreams. Life is full of pain, but isn't the pain of climbing the upward path, the pain of pursuing your faith, isn't that going to be more rewarding than the pain of knowing what you could have become, but you never dared to step out in faith? Wouldn't you rather try for an exceptional life than settle for an excuse-filled life? Teddy Roosevelt, it's not the critic who counts. Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who's actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds? Who knows great enthusiasm, great devotion, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. Now we all know that if you don't use a part of your body, atrophy will occur. In Mammoth Cave in Kentucky, the fish in their water there have eye sockets, but no eyes. The reason is that the waters are so deep and so dark that living in continual darkness has caused their eyes to disappear because they were not able to function. What is true of their eyes is also true of the gifts and abilities that Krishna or God has given us. We can get by in life without vision, without enthusiasm, without exercise in our physical or mental cells. We can spend most of our time and most of our energy making excuses, complaining, accusing God of not equipping us with abilities. The problem is not lack of abilities. We have lots of those. The problem is a lack of willpower. Krishna didn't pack our bags for mediocrity. The problem is not that we have no abilities, but that we have abilities which are immeasurable. We are sons and daughters of the Almighty God, called to do great things, anointed to make our mark in the world. Don't run and hide from your destiny. Don't be afraid. Krishna has given you abilities which will match your opportunities and strength to shoulder those responsibilities. And the Bhagavad Gita says, for those who are exerting themselves to honor me, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. If you're familiar with the epic Ramayana, you've run across the story of the great monkey devotee of Lord Rama. He's sitting there on the right-hand side of the altar at the feet of Rama and Lakshmana. In the service of the Lord, when Ram's wife Sita was kidnapped and taken 800 miles across the ocean and held captive in Sri Lanka, Hanuman leaped over the ocean. And at various times in his mission, when he had to become small and inconspicuous and reconnoiter and spy, the Lord gave him the ability to be as small as a cat and to go anywhere without being noticed. And on another occasion, the Lord gave him the ability to become big as a tower, all in order to execute the mission of Lord Rama. And I'd like to take the opportunity to quote an excerpt of a rap song by MC Yogi from an album called Rock on Hanuman. Hanuman ji, you have the power to be as small as a cat or tall as a tower. You devour lust, ignorance, envy, and greed, and never cower in the moment of need. You leap to Lanka and reassured Sita, don't worry about a thing because Ram is going to free you. You burn down Lanka when your tail is on fire, and to serve Ram is your only desire. You embody bhakti, the yoga of love. That's why Rama gave you a great big hug. How did I do? MC Yogi does it better, and he has musical accompaniment. Let me share this with you by Marianne Williamson. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You're a child of the Most High God. We're all meant to shine as children do. We are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in all of us. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we're liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. We turn back to good old Teddy. For us, the life of action, of strenuous performance of duty. Let us live in the harness, striving mightily. Let us rather run the risk of wearing out than rusting out. Acknowledging talents and abilities would be to acknowledge an omnipotent creator who gifted you, who endowed you, who equipped you, who empowered you, who loves you, and who would like to see you moving forward towards your destiny. It is said that with abilities come opportunities, and with opportunities come responsibilities. If you don't want responsibility, then naturally you're going to backtrack and deny ability. You're going to have that poor old me attitude. I don't have what it takes because you're scared of using what God gave you. Prabhupada said, it is Krishna's desire that we meet together underneath the umbrella of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, temples, farms, communities, restaurants, pool our talents and abilities, cooperate to accept responsibility for pushing forward the Krishna consciousness, which is God consciousness movement, which is so badly needed throughout the world. Now, one of our abilities is accountability. There's an old Japanese legend that tells of a man who died and went to heaven. Heaven was beautiful, full of lush gardens and glittering mansions. Then the man came to a room lined with shelves. On the shelf were stacked piles and piles of human ears. A heavenly guide explained that these ears belong to all the people who listened each week to the Word of God, but never acted on God's teachings. Their worship never resulted in action. When these people died, only their ears went to heaven. It's not a question of who has your ear, that's receptibility. It's a question of who has your heart, and that's called accountability. Who's working in you? Does God have your ears, or does He also have your heart? That's why we chant. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because we're worshiping Him from the heart up, not just from the ears up. Accountability is always a matter of good news, bad news. Well done, and how come? Isn't every evaluation that way? Life is a combination of good news and bad news. What did you do and why did you do it? And what's next? A little cartoon I read once of the good news, bad news phenomenon in church said the good news is that we baptize four persons down by the riverside. The bad news is that we lost two more in the river current. The good news is that the United Methodist women sent their pastor on a trip to the Holy Land. The bad news is they only bought him a one-way ticket. The good news is that the church's women's softball team won their first game. The bad news is that they beat the men's church softball team. The good news is that attendance is up in this wonderful congregation. The bad news is that we're out of space. The good news is that we have the money to build an expanded version of our worship hall. The bad news is it's still in your pockets. It's not how much you have that matters to Krishna. It's what you do with what you have that matters to Him. Krishna is not concerned whether you have great ability or little ability, great talent or small talent. It's what you do with the talent that matters to Krishna. We're not accountable for being the best. We are accountable for doing our best. Little haiku says, if you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be the sun, be a star. It isn't by size that you win or fail. Be the best of whatever you are. You see, ultimately, success is not a matter of temporal success, ecclesiastical recognition, or popular acclaim. It's simply a matter of doing your best with the talents and abilities and opportunities that Krishna has given you. Holding your own, treading water is not enough. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. Do you know that devotion, real effort begins in the small things? What's wrong with most people is they think they're too good to get to work on time. They're too good to pick up the trash. They're too good to wash the dishes. They're too good to go and weed in the garden. Everybody will pick the zucchinis, but find the people that will go out and weed in the garden. Oh no, I could never do that. Someone else can do that, but not me. They want to get on with the big things, but they're not interested in the little things. Longfellow once said, most people would succeed in small things if they were not troubled with great ambition. I heard about a man who was talking to a big, tall, strapping giant of a Paul Bunyan fellow. And he said, if I were as big, tall, and strong as you, I would go out in the woods, find the biggest bear I could find, and wrestle him right down to the ground. And the tall man just looked at the little guy and he said, there's plenty of little bears in the woods too. You hear it said we're about to enter into a new millennium. What is a new millennium? A millennium is made up of centuries. Centuries are made up of decades. Decades are made up of years. Years are made up of months. Months are made up of weeks. Weeks are made up of days. Days are made up of hours. Hours, minutes. Minutes are seconds, and seconds are made of moments. It's the little things that add up to the big things. I was talking to my wife, Vaibhavi, the other day, and I asked her if she married me for my looks. She said, no, I didn't marry you for your looks. I married you for your brains. It's the little things that count. A last ability that we want to mention is availability. A man applied for a job as a handyman. A prospective employer asked, can you do carpentry? No. How about bricklaying? Man's answered, no. The employer asked, well, what about electrical work? The man said, no, I don't know anything about that either. Finally, the employer said, well, tell me what's handy about you. The man said, I live just around the corner. I'm available. Sometimes the greatest ability that we can have is availability to be where God calls us, to be within whisper range of His summons, to be always tuned into His will. And that's why we chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. To always stay tuned into that small, still voice from within us. The Lord has called everyone to be a servant and has gifted every servant and given every servant the ability to work for His glory. It was said of Prabhupada Guru, he started construction of a house in which the whole world can live. Any construction project needs equipment drivers, drywall installers, electricians, framers, HVAC guys, people to build and maintain it. And once it's open, cooks, festival organizers, yoga teachers, childcare artists, public speakers, musicians, graphic artists, auto mechanics. So many abilities are required to sustain a spiritual institution. The Lord wants you to be part of that, and He wants you to be ambitious. He wants you to be the best that you can be. In spiritual circles, sometimes ambition is considered to be a dirty word. It means to circle around. It refers to the fact that life is meant to be a movement around the opportunities that God gives you in order to achieve His glory and His honor. There's a saying which sums it up nicely. We ought to expect great things from God, and we ought to attempt great things for God. Capping off here, remember, success is when you act with availability, responsibility, and accountability to take advantage of every opportunity that God has given you for His glory and for His honor. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Make the decision with me today to live an exceptional life rather than excuse-filled life. To choose passion over indifference. To choose effort over lethargy, choose devotion over selfishness, light over darkness. We are children of the Almighty Lord, full of beauty, power, brilliance. We are created as eternal, luminous beings, created to shine in light and love in this life and in the next life. Go back to home, back to Godhead.